Colossians chapter 3 this morning. So turning your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to be going a lot of places. We're going to go to Corinthians and we're going to go to Romans. And we're going to just today, I want to teach you a very doctrinal lesson. Doctrine is so important. When you're first saved, all you need to know to be saved is to just embrace Christ. You call upon the name of the Lord, and He hears you, and you're saved. That's just the very first thing. And then you need to grow in regards to your faith. And that is doctrine. That is learning truths about what the Bible says about you. Now, do you remember last week, I wrote on the board that faith is believing that what God says about me is true. So this morning, I'm going to teach you some things that God says are true about you if you are saved. These things will make all the difference in your life. They will make all the difference in how you live your Christian life. Because it's truth that sets you free. It's truth as you learn God's word and God's truth. And then faith is just believing that it's so. God says it, I believe it. And so this morning, I want to teach you some doctrine. I'm going to start in Colossians 3, and then I'm going to come out of Colossians, and we're going to go some different places. And then next week, we're going to come back to Colossians 3, and we're going to learn some very practical truths that are there. But that's where we're going to start this morning in our springboard. So, let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in. Come on in. Hey, Amy. This is a great group, and by the way, happy Mother's Day to everyone. I hope y'all have a very special day. Just find you a place, Amy. Okay, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. So, our Father, as we just gather in this room this morning, and we've had busy mornings, and it's such a special day in our lives to just be honoring our mothers and to be loving on our moms and to be the object of the love of our children. And so we just think about how we want to be godly women. We want to be women who know you, who embrace truth, and who are women of faith. And so we come to Sunday school because we want to learn your word. We want to learn what the Bible says about you and what the Bible says is true about us because we're in Christ. And so this morning I pray that you would help me to communicate effectively. I've just got so many things going on in my mind that I want to share. And I pray that they'll come out in a way that is understandable and that in a way where truth can impact our lives and make a difference in the way we live and in the way we think, so that we may be women who think biblically. So, Father, speak very personally to us this morning, and we just pray your blessing on our time together, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week, I started a new study. We had Easter. And then after Easter, I just kind of was trying to think, well, what can we do after Easter? And so I've entitled this study, How to Live a Resurrected Life, or Living a Risen Life. And that's kind of been our focus. I think it's going to be a very practical study, and this is lesson two in our series. So let's just start by reading what we looked at last week, and that was verses 1 through 4 of Colossians 3. Let's start there this morning. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised up with Christ, and the word if there would better be translated in the Greek sense. It's a done deal. It's a stated fact. It's not, well, maybe it's true. It's no. Since this has happened, there are some things that need to be true of you. Let's look and read. Since then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now that's what we looked at last week. And we learned some things. We learned that you and I, when we were saved, we became baptized into Christ. That means identified with. In the Greek, the word baptized is like if I took a white piece of cloth and placed it in a vat of purple dye. When I pulled that white piece of cloth up, what would it look like? It would be purple. Because that white cloth would have been immersed into purple dye. And they would have become one. The dye would have become identified with the cloth. That's what happens when we're saved. We're identified, we're baptized into Christ. Now, it's a mystery. I don't understand it. But we talked about this last week. When Christ was on the cross, dying for our sins, somehow God placed me in Christ. And my sins were put upon him. And so when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. And when he was raised and resurrected, so was I. Now that's a mystery. But I've been baptized into Christ. I've been crucified, buried, and raised with him. And I told you last week, that is your position. Positionally, in Christ, that's where I am. And where is Christ right now? Where did we just learn from those verses that I read? Where is he? He's not on the earth. Where is he? He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. There is his place of regal authority, of dominion. That is the honored place. He's called our advocate. That means he's my lawyer. He gives me access to come to the throne of mercy. Because he's seated there, I have access. Because where am I? I'm in Christ. Where is he? He's in the heavenlies. Now, reason with me. Think biblically with me. If I'm in him, where am I? Positionally, where am I? I'm in the heavenlies. That is my home. That is where I am. And so, Paul starts out, because this is true, you need to seek those things which are above. That's where your real place of authority is, at the right hand of God. And so what God has done is legally, he's made me to be in Christ. It was a judicial act that happened when Christ went to the cross, was buried, and when he came out of the grave, that was God saying, I'm satisfied with him. He is the Lamb of God. He is the sacrifice. I'm satisfied. Now, the whole book of Colossians, it's a powerful book. It's only four chapters. But the whole theme of the book is this. You are complete in Christ. Christ is sufficient for you. He's everything you need. So therefore, we talked about this last week, we need to leave the earth. We don't need to be so wrapped up in this earth. It doesn't need to be the center of our universe anymore. We need to ascend to the heavenlies. That's where our home is. That's where our Lord is. And that needs to be our vantage point as Christians as we're living the life down here. Now let's go and read the rest. I want to read some more verses, starting with verse 5. And then I'm going to just pull out some points there. Starting with verse 5. Therefore, now, therefore, wherefore is the therefore? Well, it's because I've been raised up with Christ. I'm not supposed to set my mind on the things above. Therefore, because I'm living a risen life now, look what I'm to do. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also, You put them all aside, and then he gives us another list. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. Or your version may say the old man, since you laid aside the old man with his evil practices. And you've put on the new self, or the new man, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created you. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now let's stop right there and let me make some comments. Now, we have this awesome position. When I got saved, I was placed in Christ. And positionally there, I'm with him in the heavenlies. And it's just an awesome position. But here's my question. Why is the Christian life so difficult sometimes? Have you noticed the struggle? Have you noticed that it's not easy? I mean, if I've been set free, if I've died, if I've been buried, if I've been raised, and I'm called to walk in the heavenlies, and you know, my heart really wants to go there. I really do. Don't you? The real you. I want to go there. Well, why is it so tough? Why is it such a battle? Well, I want to teach you this morning about that battle. Why the Christian life is a warfare. Why the Christian life is difficult. Look at verse 9 with me, because there are some terms there that we need to see. And in verse 9, he says we're to put off the old self or the old man. And then in verse 10 it says, we're to put on the new self or the new man. So this is my question this morning that I want us to talk about. What is or who is the old man and who is the new man? Am I still just a combination? I mean, I have some of the old man and some of the new man. And those two things are always fighting with each other. Or, did the old man die, gone, and I'm nothing but a new man right now? And if that's true, where does the struggle come in? And so that's the question that I want us to be answering this morning. Now, let me see if I can help you. First of all, when you became a Christian, the old man died. Now, death is a radical thing. And when that old man died and you became a Christian, you became a new self, a new man, a new creation. Now that's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. If any man be in Christ, what is he? A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Now, what Paul is saying here in this portion of Colossians is that since you are a new person, you need to dress like a new person. So, first of all, I want you to get in your mind that the moment you were saved, there was an old man that died. It died. And a new person came alive in you. You were born again. So Paul says, what is your response? And Paul says, well, just throw away the old clothes and put on the new clothes. So when you go through this, and you heard me, you put off this and this and this and this. And then you put on this and this and this and this. And so there's a negative that you put off, and there's a positive that you put on. Now let's go to Romans. Romans is the most doctrinal book in the Bible. I want you to go to Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to show you some things out of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 6 with me. There's something we need to know. Knowing this, now here's what we need to know, that our old self, or our old man, was crucified with him. Now, who is the him there? Who was crucified? It was Christ. Our old self was crucified with Christ, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, when you were born again, you died, you became a new person, and you were risen to walk in a new way of life. And this is really very practical here, what we're seeing in Romans chapter 6. But I want you to understand that you died, that the old man died. Now listen to what Paul said. Paul said this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I, but Christ lives in me." Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying, I died, and yet a new I is living in me. A new man takes the place of another man. And every Christian is a new person. Now go back to Colossians for me. Leave a little marker there in Romans because we're going to come back in a minute. And look back at verse 9 again. And I want to show you something there. In verse 9, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you're going to have put on a new man. So the first thing you do is you put off the old man. He died. Now what he's saying here is salvation brings a changed lifestyle. Now who is this old man? Who is this old man? Well, I want you to know the whole world is either you are in Adam in his likeness or you're in Christ. Those are the two people the whole world is in. Now, when you were born, in the likeness of Adam. Now, Adam was a sinner, wasn't he? He is, because of Adam, when he sinned, the whole human race fell with him. The whole human race. So either you're in Adam or you're in Christ. In Adam, you have the old man. In Christ, you have the new man. That's what I want you to see. Now go back to Romans, and I want you to look at Romans 5, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Let's learn some doctrine this morning. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin." All right, who is that one man that brought sin into the world? That one man was Adam. And the result of that sin was what? Death. It was death. So death comes through Adam. Now go back to Romans 12. And it says, "And so death spread to all men because all sinned." Now look down at verse 15. "But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one many died." Now who's the one there that he's talking about? Death entered through one. Who was it? Adam. So if through the one we have death, study your Bible with me now. Then it goes on to say, "Much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many." And look at verse 16. "And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification." And then verse 17. "For if by the transgression of the one," that would be Adam, "death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So, in Adam, all are died, dead. In Christ, all are made alive. In Adam, you are a slave to sin. You didn't have to be taught how to sin when you were born. It came naturally to you. But in Christ, you become a slave to righteousness. Now, there you have the whole thing. I'm going to show you one other scripture in just a minute in Corinthians. So transformation comes when you are saved and you're placed in Christ. Now, this is what you need to see. Your only hope is to be in Christ. If I'm in Adam, you know, try as hard as I can. I really can't reform myself. I can't clean myself up. I mean, I'm really in a hopeless, helpless state. My only hope is to turn to Christ and embrace what he's done for me and have a whole new start, a whole new transformation. That's why it's not about being good. And it's not about just coming to church. And it's not about doing the best you can. It's all about being born again. You've got to make sure you've been transformed. Because when you do, you receive a whole new beginning. You receive life. That's what you get. You have to be made brand new. And that's what happens when you come to Christ. That's exactly what happens. And you say, wait a minute, I still have a problem. I have a problem with this, with my life. I mean, I know I've been in Christ and I'm saved to be righteous and I'm made alive and I'm a new person, but I still have such a struggle in my life. I want to show you where the struggle comes from. And it's this little diagram right here, because you're three parts. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body of flesh. Now your spirit is the part of you that was dead. It was the old man. But when you got saved, it became alive. Brand new, ready and fitted for heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You were spiritually born again. And then your soul, which is the seat of your mind, your will, and your emotions, it has to be transformed by the Word of God. And as you get in God's Word, you learn to think rightly, and you learn to make right decisions, and you learn to feel rightly. But here is our real problem. It's this. We live in a body of flesh. Our body has lust. Our body has appetites. Our body is corrupted. Our body is destined to decay. And you know, it doesn't get transformed. And so Paul says this, I have to buffet my body. Have you noticed your body doesn't want to eat right? Your body doesn't want to exercise? Your body doesn't like to do the things that are right and good? And your body is always having a struggle with your spirit. And that's where the problem comes in. Now here's the deal. You're going to live in your body as long as you're on this earth. And so that is where the struggle comes in. It's the flesh connection. So you have three enemies. And the Bible says the world is your enemy. And it'll try to make you fit into its world, its mold. And then your flesh is your enemy. And your flesh doesn't want to do what's righteous and right. It's always warring with your spirit. And then you have one other enemy, and that is Satan. Now, I'm just telling you, as a Christian, I've got to know these truths. I've got to know where the problem comes in. Because if I don't understand that my body is a real problem to me, I'll just get all confused in my Christian life. And when I make mistakes, Satan will come to me and say, oh, see, you're not really a Christian. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't feel that way. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't do that. And I understand, no, I'm living in this body of flesh. And I'm going to be in it until I die. Now, here's something else I want to show you. And I put it at the bottom here. Because salvation has tenses. It has a past tense, a present tense, and a future tense. This is going to help you in your Christian life. You see, I was saved. There was a point in time when I was saved. Now, I cannot tell you the exact date I was saved. I don't remember. I didn't mark it down. I was a young bride and a newlywed wife. And there was a point in time where I did business with God. And I bowed the knee, and I invited him to come in. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about anything spiritually. I just knew I was lost, and I knew I needed a Savior. And very simply, one night, sitting in a meeting, hearing the gospel presented, I gave my life to the Lord. I said, God, would you come in? Would you come in? Would you do what this man says you will do? And I embraced the gospel message, and I was born again. Now, that night, my spirit was immediately transformed. And I was delivered from sin's penalty. What is the penalty of sin? In Adam, what is the penalty? Death. But that night, when I was saved, I was delivered from sin's penalty. And that is the term justification. I was justified. That night, I was made righteous in the sight of God. That night, I was placed in Christ. That night, when God looked at me, he looked at me through his son, Jesus, and I was righteous in his eyes. Now, that's amazing to me because I hadn't learned anything about the Bible. I hadn't grown anything in my spiritual walk. I was just a brand new born baby that night. But then there's another tense to salvation, and it's present tense. I am being saved. That's present tense. And that means that I'm delivered from sin's power. Now, there's a verse in Romans 6, I think it's Romans 6, 17, it says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Do you realize that? This is amazing. In Christ, because I'm positioned in him, before I was in Adam and death was ruling and I was a slave to sin, I could not stop sinning, even though I desperately wanted to. That was my nature, and I didn't have power over it. Sin was ruling over me. But the moment I got saved, sin no longer had dominion over me. For the first time in my life, I had the power to choose not to sin. Now, that is an amazing truth. You don't have to sin. Now, we do. We get into trouble. What's our enemy? Well, the world's telling us what to do. Our flesh is warring against our spirit. And then we have another enemy, a supernatural enemy, who's setting traps all over the place. And so my life as a Christian is a warfare. But did you know what? I have power over sin. I've been delivered from sin's power. Did you know that? Did you know that? I'm telling you, that will make all the difference in your Christian life. If you know that you have power over sin, that is what is yours in Christ. And then there is a future tense. I will be saved. And you see, there's coming a day, hallelujah, when I will be delivered from sin's presence. I won't even be around it anymore. I won't even have any enemies. I'll be completely delivered. And that is called glorification. And this process is called sanctification. God's making me more like Christ. He's making me more like Christ. Now, this will make all the difference in your life if you know these things. Now, I'm totally lost from my notes, so give me just a minute to find out where I am. And so we're to put our flesh to death. Now look at verse 5 there. There's some things you're to put to death in your life. Now who's going to put them to death? You are. There's some things, look at me, that you have to put to death. You're responsible for it. But see, I have to know what God's done for me. I have to know I have power over sin. I have to know who my enemies are. I've got to understand how I'm made and that this body of flesh is stinking and rotten and I can't let it rule over me. I can't let it rule over me. So the flesh is just all of your humanness. It's still around. And boy, will it ever bug you. You know what it'll do? It'll go into your closet and it will pull out your old clothes. And it will tell you, put this on. I want you to wear this. Put this on. This is the one I like.
And you have to learn to buffet your flesh and buffet your body. You know what Paul said? He said, I beat my flesh into subjection. I beat it up. I don't let it rule over me. You know why he said that? Because he didn't want to be disqualified. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to obey your flesh. You don't have to. Now, I want to show you another scripture. Let me see where it is. I want you to go to Ephesians 2, and let me show you something there. Go to Ephesians 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. General Electric Power Company. Now look with me here at verse 1 in Ephesians 2. Let me check my time because I'm getting on a roll here. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now where was I dead? When was I dead? When I was in who? In Adam. I was dead. Who was ruling and reigning in my life? Well, you know, death was and sin was. Do you remember when you lived like that? I can remember when I was dead in my trespasses and sins. All right, look at verse 2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the course of the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. In other words, the whole world, you see, is in Adam. The whole world. And when you're in Adam, you are an object of God's wrath. And you're just doing, you know what? You're living according to the world. You're living according to the prince of the power of the air. You're living according just to the lust of your flesh. Whatever it tells you to do, you do. And that's how life is for those who are in Adam. But look at the next verse. But God, verse 4 says, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, oh, I love it, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And what did he do? Look at it. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that not amazing? You were in Adam. But God, because of his great mercy and love, he looked down at you. And you became an object of his affection and love. I'll never get over it. I was living like the devil. Just living according to my flesh. Doing what the world told me to do. Satan was just having a heyday with me. And God looked down on me and had mercy on me. And you know what he did? He raised me up. He raised me up. He put me in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. And you know what? This is Paul's point in Colossians. Look what God has done for you. He has delivered you. Therefore, there's some things you need to do. And this is a very practical part of Scripture. If you really want to live the risen life, there's some choices you have to make. There are some things that go along with your flesh that you're going to have to put off. Now, you're going to have to put them off. You're going to say, well, I can't. Or I deserve to feel that way. No, because look, you've been delivered from sin's power, and you're without excuse before God. If you've been born again, he's given you the power to put off and then to put on. Now, let me jump to another scripture. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to show you something else about in Christ and in Adam. 1 Corinthians, and I believe it is chapter 15, and I want you to look at verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. You see, this is doctrine. Did you know you were in Adam? Did you know now you're in Christ? And did you know the difference? Did you know you were an old man, but you died? And God gave you a whole new life? You're a new person now? You need to know these things spiritually. They'll help you live your life. Because by understanding, a house is built. By wisdom, your life is filled with precious and wonderful treasures. All right, look at verse 45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now, who is the last Adam? It's Christ. He's called the last Adam, or sometimes he's called the second Adam. And all of humanity hinges between these two. Either you're in Adam or you're in Christ. All right, now go back to 1 Corinthians. Let's see what it says. Verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy, and the second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as it is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the earthy, ye also shall bear the image of the heavenly. In Adam, you are earthy. In Christ, you are heavenly. And just as you bore this image in Adam, this is what Paul is saying in Corinthians. If you're born again, you will bear this image. The image of the heavenly. He was earthy. Christ is spiritual. And so what happens in Christ is you have a wonderful transformation. An absolutely wonderful transformation. And God is going to make us like Christ. Now, how's he going to do it? Go back to Colossians 3, and I want you to look at verse 10. There he says he's going to renew you unto knowledge. He's going to build you up to full knowledge. Now, I want to say this because here's where we are. We're in this. I am being saved. It's a process of sanctification. How do we get renewed unto knowledge? Well, it's like eating. It's like growing. At first, you're a baby, and you take in your milk, and you begin to grow, and you turn into a toddler. And as you progress, you add different things to your diet, and you get larger and larger until one day you're fully mature. And that's the same idea with your spiritual life. It's a process. It's a process. I mean, you take in the truth and you appropriate the truth. You put it into action. It energizes your life. You learn to think biblically. You kill the things that are associated with the old man in Adam. And you take in God's word and you put on Christ. You put on the things that are him. Now look quickly at verse 11. Wherein there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, but Christ is all in all. This is a fantastic dimension. I love this. In Christ, there are no barriers. There's no chauvinism. There's no snobbery. There's no caste system. I mean, God places us all together, and together collectively, we become one new man. We're equal. I love that. All social levels are gone. Now let me say this. Positionally, it's been done. I'm here, positionally. But practically, I have to work it out as I walk in this life. What God has done for me positionally, I take it and work it out very practically as I walk in my life. I understand I'm complete in Christ. And I want my position to match my practice. And so we're going to see next week. There are some things you need to put off. And there are some things you need to put on. But go back to verse 5 because I want to point something out there. As Paul starts to show us how to live the heavenly life, he's going to tell us that there's some things that have to be killed in our lives. And it reminds me of what Jesus said in the Gospels. He said, you've got to take up your cross daily and follow me. And the cross always signifies death to self.
Did you know that the Christian life is such a radical thing? It's a radical life. I'm given access to the very heavenlies where Christ is seated, and that's my right. But I'm never going to get there until I kill some things. I put some things off. I consider the members of my earthly body as dead to sin. Now, let me take you one more place. Go to, we went to Ephesians. Hang on, let me see where I want you to go. I wanted to take you to,
I wanted to show you one more thing about your flesh. And I believe it's in Galatians. Let me make sure. Yes, go to Galatians. Go to Galatians 5. And I want you to look at verse 16. Because I want you to see, how am I going to live this life? It's going to happen when I walk by the Spirit and not by my flesh. Look at verse 15. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of your flesh. Now notice verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you want. Now look, here is the real me. Oh, I love God. I want to serve God. I want to obey God. And, you know, the real me, this is the new me, the new I. My heart is wanting to ascend, but I have a problem. It's my flesh. And I see right here in Galatians that my problem is that my flesh wars with my spirit so that I don't do the things I want to do. So what I've got to learn to do is walk by my spirit so that I won't fulfill the desires of my flesh. Now, I want to show you what the flesh wants to do here. You say, well, what does my flesh want to do? Well, look at verse 19. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice as a habit such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then the fruit of the Spirit, you know it. What does the Spirit want to do? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what the Spirit, the real you, wants to do. Now that's where your problem comes in. You're not a Christian very long before you realize, I do have a struggle. I do have a struggle. I have to deal with that old self radically. Now here's Paul's point, and I'm almost done. He says, look, you possess risen life. And since you do, since you've been risen with Christ, since you are to ascend to the heavens, since you're raised from the dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, since Christ is your life, and since he's going to come and he's going to take you to be with him, and then you're going to appear with him in glory, since all of this is true, therefore, there are some things you have to kill and put off, and then there are some things that you have to put on. You've got to cut the cord with the earth and ascend to the vantage point. You've got to leave those things, and there are some things that you put on. You're new. You need to live like you're new. Now, next week, what we're going to do is go through this very same portion, and we're going to talk about what is it that I need to put off, and what is it do I need to put on? And it's going to be very, very practical. And it's going to really, really step on your toes. This week, I disappointed myself so much. I bought a little toy at Dirt Cheap. When I got home, I was going to put it together and give it to Josh for Christmas. It was a little motorcycle. And so I got all the parts out, put them out on the floor. Well, guess what? The handlebar was missing. Well, I just put it all back in the box. Stuck it in my closet. It's been in my closet since Christmas. And so I decided I'm going to get that out and put it together. So I got it out, put it together, had everything but the handlebars. Well, you have to have the handlebars to go.
So I got the 1-800 number, and I called step one.
That's the toilet was, step one. I got on the phone, and the lady answered. I said, I bought a toy, and I'm missing a part. And so she said, okay, well, what part do you need? I told her the part number, all of that. I'm sitting on the phone. She said, where did you buy that toy? And out of my mouth came these words, at Walmart. That was the biggest lie. Where did I buy that toy? At Dirt Cheap. She said, was the package opened when you bought it? I said, oh, no, ma'am. Lie number two. That package had been totally opened. Why am I lying? I don't know. You know why I'm lying? Because my flesh is saying, don't tell the truth. You see, I'm just a liar at heart. Did you know that? I am. You know what next week's lesson's going to tell us? Put off all lying. I've been studying this lesson all week to teach you, and I'm sitting on the phone, and she said, okay, well, what is the number on the box? I give her all the information. I hang the phone up, and the Holy Spirit just does a number on me. Why did you lie? I said, I don't know. I really don't know why I lied. I had to pick that phone back up and call her back. I'm sorry I've given you misinformation. Do you know how much that handlebar cost? 80 cents. 80 cents. But you see, that's what my flesh wants to do. And then, not only that, I flushed my commode in the pot. And it cost me $360 to have it replaced. And 3 days later, I did the same thing again. And you know, I mean, part of me wants to say, well, I'll just go and tell them she's quit working.
What did you flush? Your phone?
My phone. Did I say remote?
You said commode.
Oh, I flushed my cell phone in the commode. Okay. And then I did it. And so part of me says, just go tell them it quit working. I said, I can't do that. You know why? Look at me. I put off lying. That's part of my old self. It is. And you know, when I do my tax return, I have to put off all lying. Do you see how practical this is, girls? I mean, sometimes we just like to say, little white lie, don't we? Mm-hmm. But we can't. Because we're new. Do you know the old you has died? The you were in Adam is gone and is no more. And now you've been raised to walk in a new way of life. And there are some things you have to put off. And you are going to have to put them off. And some of them are easy to put off. Like immorality. There's nothing in me that wants to be immoral. I mean, I'm just not going to be. I'm old now. But you know what? There's some things that really are hard for me. Like holding grudges, unforgiving, being sensitive, things like that want to hang on to me, I have to put them off. And I have to have a forbearing spirit with people. And I have to put on love, which is just the main thing. It's the belt that cinches it all up together. Don't miss next week's lesson. You need to know, what is it God wants you to put off and what is it that God wants you to put on? And you need to set your heart. And you say, you know what? By the grace of God, I've got power now over sin. I don't have to obey the lust of my flesh. Did you know that? I'm not under its dominion anymore. There was a time when I didn't have a choice. I have a choice now. And so I want to fight the good fight. I want to walk through life. And I want to live it. I want to do it right. Now, you know what? The other day when I lied, I immediately repented. And you know what? The blood of Christ just cleansed me. It cleansed me. I didn't have to go around the rest of that day just beat myself. Oh, I'm a horrible person. God, how could you love me? I'm just a worm. I didn't have to walk around like that. You know what? I just came to God. I said, God, ooh, I'm so sorry I did that. I don't know why I did it. I really don't know why. Those words just came right out of my mouth. But it was a lie. And I was wrong, and I'm going to make it right, and I want to follow. The real me
Oh, I long to ascend to the heavenlies. That's where I want to have my vantage point. And I want to be an obedient daughter of the King. And I want His kingdom to come through me. I want His kingdom to come through me. I want as a mother to impact my influence in my little world for Christ. And so that's why this lesson is so practical. We're to live the risen life. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this very practical lesson. God, we need to know these things. We've been delivered from sin's power, from sin's penalty, and one day coming gloriously soon, we'll be completely delivered from its presence. And so here we are. We're living this life on earth, and Father, we feel the pressure of the world, and we know we have Satan as an enemy, and we're just living this new man in this old body of flesh, and it has lust, and we have to war against it. We have to beat it in subjection. We have to buffet our bodies. And we have to choose to put things off and to put some other things on. And so, Father, bring us back next Sunday that we might learn specifically the things You want us to wear and the things You want us to discard. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go have a great